could be fine. We fixed it, so.
Okay.
You're recording, yeah.
Okay.
Morning.
All right, so, yeah, but that's next week, and I'll, if you're in the class, remind me, we'll chat a little bit about what annotated bibliography looks like and so forth, but. So, let me go from right to left. So, Caleb, you're up to bat. Your bibliographic list, did you come up with at least a preliminary?
Yeah, I actually included them in my thesis email to you.
When did you send that?
Yesterday evening sometime.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't print it.
Oh, did you do it, the DCC?
Yeah.
Okay, I hadn't pulled that one up, so.
Okay.
If you don't mind, just kind of rattling it off for us and.
Yep, back to me. Do that.
And I got, let's see if I can choose Brittany.
So, as far as the thesis or the sources?
Well, go ahead and state your thesis again, and then tell us the bibliographic entries you got.
My thesis I came up with, this paper will focus on how understanding and embracing the two most rapidly growing evangelical Christian movements, business's mission and the marketplace mission movement, can afford Christians the opportunity to encircle the business world and work to converge on one common goal from all sides.
Okay. Can you shrink that down to a single sentence almost?
It is.
No, okay. Okay, I didn't hear a period in there.
Because business's missions and the marketplace mission movement are.
Okay. So what? Though the ministry is taking place in business arena, what aspect of the discipline of the practice of business feeds into it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that'll kind of be explained before the thesis comes up.
Okay.
And the business's missions is more of an executive style approach, and mm-hmm. the marketplace mission movement is a lady-led kind of your mm-hmm. everyday white-collar, blue-collar approach to the whole
okay.
deal.
And I meant to send you a book about business as a calling.
Mm-hmm.
You might look that up, but it helped me by sending me an email to ask me to give you that bibliographic interest, because I think that would give you a grounding for the whole idea of the nature of business is not far removed anyway from the idea of being a Christian and
right.
missions and so forth. So. That would help. Okay, so the intersection of business and then these kinds of ministries in the context of business and so forth, and personal ministry, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of bibliographic entries? Well, let me ask you this, or ask the others first. Does everyone get his description of his statement of his thesis, does that make sense to you, or does it seem clear to you guys?
I had trouble doing it, but I try to get it since I have more of an idea of how he did it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can just get that to you, but I don't know how to keep it short either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Economy of words. It's kind of an artificial exercise, but to try to shrink it down to one mm-hmm. sentence forces you to think in terms of a punchline. What's this really about in a single sentence? You know? But in your introduction, when you actually give your thesis, it doesn't have to be restricted to a single sentence, though you do kind of want to make it like a pyramid where you might have an introductory line or whatever, but at some point it needs to be a nice, succinct statement of here's what this is about. So, Nate, what do you think? Did his thesis make sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, you can't. Like, I'm still working on mine, and it's pretty simple, mm-hmm. the basis of it, but I mean, condensing it, like you said, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I understood it. Yeah.
Okay. I'll see. Bernice, did you hear his thesis okay?
Yes, sir. I got the part, I heard him really mention the part about the basically blue collar and executive, and trying to basically bring it all together, but I really didn't quite understand it.
Okay. Why don't you rattle off one more time again and see if it helps.
Okay. This paper will focus on how understanding and embracing the two most rapidly growing evangelical Christian movements, businesses mission and the marketplace mission movement, can afford Christians the opportunity to encircle the business world and work to converge on one common goal from all sides.
Okay, so the idea is the intersection business and ministry, and particularly personal evangelism, personal ministry, seeing that as a whole connected effort. How about you, Joanna? Did that make sense?
Yeah, I heard it. I think the second time that he read it, it made better sense. I think I had, the first time I was like, what? but it made better sense the second time you read it.
It's hard for me. If you were just to, when people read me theirs, it'll be hard for me to not read it myself.
Yeah.
I think that's probably,
or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, let's rattle off your bibliographic so
for
far.
Sources, I got Business's Mission by Neil Johnson,
okay,
who was my teacher of my entrepreneurial missions class.
Okay.
From Pope, A Billion Bootstraps, Smith and Eric. It's basically about microfinance and how American companies can have such a huge impact through microfinance and poverty-stricken, basically on $100. You can, in a successful program, you can take a $100 loan, make your interest back on it, and use that same 100 10 times. So you can get your money can be used tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
If you put it into a successful microfinance program, as opposed to giving $100 to, you know, World Vision or any of the other things.
Okay.
And there's just a ton of really good business sense in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping to use from that. Same thing, Enterprising Nonprofits is another one. Becoming a Courageous Christian.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtic Way of Evangelism.
Oh, that's interesting.
Have you ever read it?
No, I haven't heard that title.
It's interesting.
That'd be an Irish Christian.
Basically, just their idea of evangelism was bring somebody in and make them a part of your community,
mm-hmm.
give them a job, a place to live, feed them, clothe them, do everything. Then kind of the whole immersive Christianity element.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you about.
It's a really good book. I recommend it.
Yeah. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's by George Hunter from Asbury Seminary.
Okay. Does it draw on St. Patrick at all, or?
Yes, very much so.
Okay. Yeah, that does sound interesting.
He's done the survey kinds of people's thoughts about Christianity. So what people, instead of what Christians tell you other Christians think about Christianity, actually what other people put out. So it's really interesting to see what people think.
Can you guys hear that tapping?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I think whoever's on the phone needs to mute the phone.
Oh, the phone itself?
I think what we need to do is...
Yeah, whoever is on the conference call on the mute, on the phone, on their phone, needs to be, I think, muted.
Okay, that was probably me, guys. I'm sorry. I put it on the Bluetooth in the car so I could hear real good. I'll mute the phone. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gone now. Yeah. Okay.
Yay.
If you need to mute some... right-click on them, and you can mute their audio right there.
Okay.
But yeah, it's gone now, so.
But then how can they speak?
Well,
they can.
Yeah. Typically, if they're using the computer, they can unmute themselves. When you're using the phone, they can't. So you'll have to kind of ask them and then unmute it or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But the way she's got it now, sounds like it's okay.
Okay.
She turned the Bluetooth off or whatever.
Okay.
It's causing the problem.
All right. Thanks. All right. What else you got there for your?
The Universe Next Door by James Sire.
Right.
Have you read that?
Yeah.
Transforming Worldviews by Paul Hebert. Saving Leonardo Piercy. Spiritual Conversations, Rohrmeyer. Freedom from Tyranny of the Urgent by Charles Hummel. And then Bible, Exegetical Bible Dictionary and Commentary off of Logos.
Okay. Okay, anybody hearing his sources listed there, anybody think of something or know of something that, or at least even by category, that he needs to add in there for his research topic? You're sort of heavy on, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that the book from Freedom from the Tyranny of Urgent, I think, is a really good one. I actually going to be using it in mine as well.
Okay. I mean, it seems pretty heavy on the, you know, the ministries involved in business and so forth. Like the book I mentioned might help theologically connect the idea of how business is, can be very much a Christian practice to begin with. Shy of any pointed personal ministry, just the very fact of doing business is a doing good for the common good, you know, for
right.
people around you.
Yeah,
so
and that's what
gives you a theological underpinning.
That's what the first two
deal with that.
Yeah,
bit.
BAM is it's a big three section, completely comprehensive look at every. It was our textbook for
okay.
the class, but the
okay.
teacher actually wrote it.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
he was quite accomplished, but yeah, and then A Billion Bootstraps as well touches a whole lot on the management and actual the business owner, the leader,
mm-hmm.
the CEO, what you have to do, what you have to know how to do,
yeah.
all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So it's more business with just the underlying ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, we're going to talk about business because we already know that it's all to do with ministry.
Okay.
So let's just focus on business, knowing that ministry is the ultimate goal.
Okay, that's good. Any other thoughts or ideas about either books you've come across or just ideas about helping him find resources? Okay.
But I will email you to a reminder.
Okay.
Because I actually had that. I remembered you said that, and I had that in the back of my mind when I was making this, was that I would have that as another source.
Yeah. And I think the title is just Business is Calling, so you might even look it up to see if you can come across it. But. Okay, Nate, tell us again your thesis and then the bibliographic sources.
I don't remember how I phrased it. It was, let's see what I got here.
You want me to read it for you?
That's the shortest I can make it, and I can't remember how I said it.
But you said, you know, in my research paper, I intend to explain if it is possible to maintain Christian perspective, influence, and mentality while being in competitive sports. Throughout the ups and downs of competition along with the angry sports such as football, despite the hostility, can Christians maintain a positive impact on non-believers? So it's a little bit diffused in different directions, but basically it sounds to me like you're trying to say, what is the relationship of Christianity, or is there a relationship, Christianity, or, well, it's basically saying, can Christianity be competitive?
Yeah.
Or can Christianity what's the relationship of Christianity to competition? And that question will be played out in the arena of athletics, where competition is very visible and pointed. So you're looking at you know, your athletic background, kinesiology and so forth, and then how does that jive with Christianity, or does it, kind of thing? Does that sound like I'm getting there?
I mean, it does. I was looking for, I can put it in my own words,
mm-hmm.
but I think, like, yesterday I can only find, or yesterday, I think, yeah, Monday when I started doing this, up till yesterday, I only found, I think, two on kinesiology that would relate to the Christian aspect, and I'm still kind of weeding my way through EBSCOhost. But a couple I found were actually on the Google Scholar,
mm-hmm.
whatever you call it, and I get some of them to use, like, Ray Lewis as an example or things like that. And then the psychology side.
Oh, yeah.
I found a few that talk about, like, the chemicals your brain releases
mm-hmm.
when you're in that type of situation. And so, I mean, use Ray Lewis again as an example. He looks like he's just a vicious guy, which he is. But after the game, when you talk to him, he's not in that moment. That chemical's gone.
Hmm.
And then wore off, and then he'll talk to you about Jesus till your ears fall off. But it's just hard to find. I think I found 9 total.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to find a lot more, because it's just like little tiny snippets from each one that can
relate. Yeah. And that's often the case, that you'll find a resource and there may be just a couple of lines in there that are valuable. But
it's like the kinesiology, there's a ton on, like, there's a place called Livestrong that's really reliable. There's a Mayo Clinic, or Mayo.
Mayo.
That one I always found was really spot on.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to find some stuff that talks about, like, the injuries. And, like, if you lose a huge game,
because
mm-hmm. that would tie into psychology and Bible, because a lot of people, when you're down, you turn to the Word.
Yeah.
And then that part, I think, is going to be the bread and butter of the
mm-hmm.
of the paper, is just finding it.
Yeah. We had in the journal, I'm an editor of, we had a research paper entitled Theology of Failure. Now, he was looking mostly in the classroom. You know, as a Christian, how do you handle failure? And is failure always bad? Well, no, because failure is often a great teaching moment. And yeah, I think you could certainly translate that into in athletics. Also, well, if you'll remember to send me an email, there's a text I could refer you to about kind of Christianity and sports, and talks about the history of relationship. Which is really fascinating about how there's been kind of a up and down with regards to the relationship and fittedness of competition, that kind of thing. Did you send me an email with
Liz? I did about 11:45 yesterday morning.
Okay, on the DCC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I forgot to look at it yesterday, so I'll get that from you. But, yeah, remind me via email to send you that text. I actually did an article in that journal about athletics and Christianity, not so much competition per se, but leading into 3 articles that we published from a panel at a conference. So anyway, if I think of it, if I can pull those up, or it's WordPress, I might be able to point you to the links on those. So.
Sure.
Okay. Any comments or thoughts about Nate's thesis and some of the bibliographic entries he's talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what it would be called. I've mentioned it to you before, that interview with the Seahawks before
mm-hmm.
last year's Super Bowl. I think that would be good. So, did you ever find that?
I found a video about it. It's like a 35-minute long video that I haven't sat down and watched at all. With the assistant coach?
No, it's with like 4 or 5 players. So it's got Russell, it's got the players in
yeah.
it. So it's got Russell Wilson and then 3 or 4 of the other guys in it. I don't know what it would be called, but yeah, it was kind of
There's a bunch of suggested stuff on the side. That's probably one of those.
Yeah, if you find that, I think that that would be good for what you were talking about. There's.
Okay, Bernice, can we call on you to chat with us a little bit about your topic and some bibliography?
Okay. Basically, my topic is going to be built off of the basis of knowledge, and it's entitled like Knowledge is Power, and with the subtitle below it, The Chronicles of a Changed Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to do in my paper is to illustrate how biblical is the basis to have like perfect knowledge in all my areas of interest, to include business, ministry, and biblical. And I actually sent you an email, and I kind of drew a little chart that supports
yeah,
with
that.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay, with the knowledge bin in the middle, and how it basically it evolves from one concentration to the next. And in my bibliographies, as of right now, I don't have a whole lot. I have a whole lot of interviews to do from a lot of different people. But I wanted to use, like, Danny Jones. She's been really inspirational to me, like, with one of her books. I believe it's called First Time Success or something to that nature. I have it, but I can't read it while I'm driving. But
yeah,
she was one.
Careful.
Say again.
Okay. No, so just be careful. Don't try to start reading while you're driving.
No, but yeah, but she was one, and I wanted to use Dr. Pedra Jacobs as well. She had a really hard life, but she made a lot of changes and has become pretty accomplished at this point in her life. And I wanted to use like one of my mentors and some of my professors from like a couple of different schools that I had attended.
Okay. I appreciate the graph and the, and you already have listed, you know, the resource people you're going to call upon in the different disciplines. That's really good. You're far along in that regard. I'm still a little bit vague though about your topic, because knowledge as a term, as a topic, is a huge topic. And so I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're doing with regards to business and ministry and biblical content. So are you trying to describe what knowledge is, or as your subtitle says, is it knowledge, how knowledge can change or affect your mind? Is that getting at it?
Yes, sir. That's part of it. And I am going to define, like, knowledge. I'm going to define, like, mythology, pathology, and how it has actually reflected my life and how I've learned, gotten knowledge from the Bible, from attending, like, school, getting an associate's in business, and from dealing and having classes, dealing with ministry, and just doing the different things that how it's totally changed my, like, worldview of, like the way I was kind of taught. So I'm embracing it and showing from, I'm going to basically tell my life story in a sense.
Okay. So yeah, use your life story as kind of a backdrop to highlight the thesis or the theme, how knowledge can change your mind and then change your life.
Well,
is that?
Yeah, it's going to be Knowledge is Power. And then the subtitle would be like Chronicles of a Changed Mind.
Right. It's just that, you know, knowledge is, again, a huge topic, because, you know, everything from the fancy term epistemology to the different kinds of knowledge. Is it knowledge of factual information, moving towards wisdom, knowledge that moves towards action, that kind of thing. So you'll need to, my guess is you'll sharpen and narrow down the focus a little bit as you move along.
Okay.
And then you're mentioning some of the resources of people that you want to interview, but then some have actually written something as well, a book?
Yes.
Okay. So you have the textbook, and then if you have the personal interview on top of that, that's really enriches the resource there for you.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you will, give me a list, send me the specific titles of your entries that you have to this point. Well, let's see, that second page. Yeah, you mentioned a couple, Danny Johnson's audiobook. Give me the, bibliographic material on that, so, in other words.
Okay. I put the one for the book, but I did list the CD. She has a CD. She has a lot of different writings, but I'm going to use a couple of the book and the CD.
Okay. And go ahead and get in practice with doing proper bibliographic entries, so give me all the information like you would in the paper.
Yes, sir.
Following the MLA style.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, Joanna, let's turn to you. Why don't you tell us read your thesis or give your thesis statement again, and then let us know your sources that you've come up with so far.
Okay. My thesis is, when transitioning from a traditional liturgical worship setting to a more contemporary one, it is imperative that the progression is more properly managed. It is imperative that the progression is properly managed so that the congregation is eased into the idea of change.
Okay. And so you're drawing on certainly biblical information, but then worship studies, and what's the third one, or area?
Management.
Management, okay, yeah. In fact, it sounded like that as you read that off. Okay. The management of change in the context of moving from traditional to contemporary service. Does that kind of catch it?
Yes.
Hey, I'm pretty good at this.
That's
Maybe I should teach a class or something. Anyway, why don't you tell us what you've come up with for sources so far?
This one has actually been kind of hard to find some good books on all three of the subjects, I guess you can say, of subject matter. But I have found a few. I know I do want to do an interview with my pastor, Tim Holland, because he went through that transition from a more liturgical type of worship into a more contemporary worship that we're doing now at our church. So I do plan on interviewing him and hoping that maybe he has a couple of sources that I can go off of. I just haven't had a chance to do it. I'm hoping he can give me a couple things, a couple tips. I also found a few books on the website, on the library, the Crawford Library thing. I haven't checked them out, obviously. I saw one that says, that is called Renew Your Worship, A Study in the Blending of Traditional and Contemporary Worship. It's by Robert Weber. Another one that is called, I'm sorry?
Yeah, Weber's always a good resource because he's kind of the cutting edge guy in this field. So.
Oh, okay, good. The next one I found says Worship That Changes Lives, Multidisciplinary and Congregational Perspectives on Spiritual Transformation. I'm not sure exactly if that one's going to be what I'm looking for, but I just kind of like the idea of the spiritual transformation. And I'm thinking that as kind of like a, that's something that changes for a lot of people, like some people think if you're not doing it in a traditional format, then you're not really worshiping God, and being able to change that to a more contemporary one. I want to explore the ideas of what it does spiritually to a person. And if that has anything to do with it, I don't know yet if the source is going to work for me or not. Let's see. The other one was, The Art of Worship, Musician's Guide to Leading Modern Worship. Obviously, I want to also go over how to lead a modern worship. And then, of course, the interview with my pastor. Oh, and of course, the freedom from the tyranny of the urgent, which is one of the things I also want to focus on, which is not making sure that you want to do this in one day. It's going to take time. It's going to take patience. And so don't feel rushed into making a big transition like that.
Yeah. From the business side, I would think you should be able to find some business models for bringing about change in the business that might be, you could draw upon to relate to this, like the management of change, if you will. Certainly there's discussions and textbooks on that in the business world. And you might look at some biblical texts of the idea of change. I'm thinking, just off the top of my head, I think of the change from Moses to Joshua. You know, that Moses was the only leader they knew, and then here's this young guy, and how did they make the transition? Was that, can you find anything in the biblical passages there that would aid in the process of change? You know, that was a change in leadership. So you might think in terms of, in the Bible, of some moments of change, and look how people responded, and then how it was handled. Well, and certainly in the New Testament, you can think of the change of Jewish Christians having to accept Gentile Christians, and how was that managed, that kind of thing. So that's just some thoughts on that. So that could bring in biblical text as well.
Yeah, that's,
anybody?
About that.
Okay. Anybody have some ideas or thoughts about her topic and task at hand?
Must admit to being about as ignorant as you can be in worship arts.
Okay. We got a claim of ignorance here. No help.
Well, I hope to teach you a little
bit. Yeah. Well, I think the idea of, as you mentioned, interviewing minister and, you know, some people in the congregation who've navigated this successfully, maybe one that didn't navigate it successfully, that would be beneficial too, to give some, that's kind of anecdotal evidence, but I think can be powerful of, here's what one church did and how it came, you know, how it worked out. It worked out well, and then maybe one, here's how it went bad, and here's maybe why. So those, that kind of interview stuff could be really enriching, I think, to the task. Now, I don't want it to be all that, because you need to do the bones work, if you will, of you know, some textual stuff. So, but the interview stuff could be a nice enhancement of what you find from the textbooks.
Okay. Well, I think I still have some work to do. I guess I focus so much on the actual transition of it that I haven't even looked up anything on the management of it, you know, so yeah. I know I have some work to do.
Okay. But you've got a direction, and that's a good thing. You know what areas you need to work in to start pulling it together. So that'll be a big benefit.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brittany, I've got yours pulled up here. Tell us again, or try to state your, well, I've got it here too, your thesis.
I don't have one. I don't know how to, I guess I didn't really work on how to put it together.
Okay. Well, let's see. What you sent me here was...
I mean, I got like sources and stuff from what I read in marriage and counseling, psychology. And then I cited the Bible because I was going to use some verses.
Right. Yeah, but yours is basically... how social media affects marriage negatively, possibly. Well, to do it, you need to open up, keep both doors open. It could be positive, it could be negative. When you start out, you're saying it's an exploration to see what the effects are. So a research on how social media affects marriage. And so you're looking at the, you know, biblical basis for marriage and the theology of that, the enrichment of that, and then from psychology counseling side of what they might be seeing as downsides to social media or whatever, its effects in general on marriage. And so you're kind of looking at what? Biblical description of marriage. And from kind of the biblical ideal, then here's what's happening with social media and how that might be undermining it or enhancing it. But that's probably unlikely, I think. But anyway, so does that kind of catch the gist of it? Okay. Well, tell us about your sources so far.
And then the creative writing one, I just think it's going to help.
Oh, yeah, the creative writing.
Because I'm going to write the story.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the Bible already, I can't remember. And then I have the five languages on there. The five languages just discusses about how, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, by Chapman.
Yeah, they have, like, different scenarios where, I guess they're in counseling, marriage couples that are in counseling, and they're talking about how, I guess the five languages, they talk about how they are in marriage and how they, I forgot what the book was about, but I remember.
Yeah, the five love languages,
yeah,
how to express heartfelt commitment to your mate.
Yes.
The title. Yeah.
So I was going to go about how a good marriage is, because it does talk about Christian marriages in there too.
Mm-hmm. Well, just, yeah, and the whole idea of communication, yeah. It's critical. Which social
media is a form of communication.
About. Well, does it hurt or enhance the communication between husband
and
wife?
That's basically what it was about.
Okay. And then you have Healing Your Marriage When Trust Is Broken by Cindy Beal, I guess it is.
Yeah, and then I was going to use that as, like, I guess how they trust, how married couples are supposed to trust each other, I guess, when they're on social media and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, and then yeah, what's this one? The War of Art Breakthrough.
Yeah, that's literature also.
Okay.
That one just focuses on how to write stories.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then Building a Love That Lasts, Seven Surprising Secrets of Successful Marriage.
That I would like use toward the end of the, I guess, like in the story, I would put how, I guess, the psychologist would fix their marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so the creative writing side, what would be the story you're telling? Are you?
I spoke to Dr. Neal, and I'm gonna use Dr. Neal, Ms. Snyder. Mm-hmm. But I spoke to Dr. Neal, and she said that she would like to see in my paper, I guess, how the wife comes back and sues the husband or something like that. She wanted me to go crazy on it. I'm like, okay, Dr. Neal. But
revenge.
Yeah. But I was just telling her I was going to start the story about how the wife was feeling a lot of insecurities,
mm-hmm.
and how she reacts a lot to the social media of the husband being on it all the time, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess little by little, I guess, like you were saying, how they drift apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do that. But then at the end, I was going to just see how the psychologist works with them and I guess how they react to the exercises the psychology gives.
Yeah, or the steps necessary to be taken to overcome the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's how I was going to do it.
Okay. So you'll have your creative writing side from the English side, literature side, with telling a story. And in that story, you're going to be pulling in the biblical model of marriage and then also from psychology side of the tendencies and problems of communication, how that will overcome.
So I guess I should, like, I guess in my story, make the psychologist a Christian and just, I guess, give points of how a Christian marriage should be.
And you could draw from both Christian and non-Christian if you see their methodologies are valid. You know. So you're looking at theory, if you will, from, say, biblical theology, the biblical teachings of the ideal marriage, what marriage is like. And then you are telling a story and then depicting a brokenness or a problem, and then how psychology provides, or particularly Christian psychology, provides a biblical means of healing and overcoming that. Is that kind of catch it? Okay. Well, you should be able to find a pretty good number of works, I think, especially on the counseling side and all this. But also, too, you should be able to find even articles online, I think, about the effects of social media on relationships in general.
Yeah, I think I need to go on that what's it called? That
Epsilon. Yeah.
Yeah. some final articles because I couldn't find any.
You could even supplement your one of the source that talked about how it affects, how social media affects a relationship or a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You could create a survey and post on your social media and
have
people fill it out and say,
and get my feedback.
And you can have it, you know, sort demographically by age and sex and stuff like that, and then say, you know,
statistics.
Yeah, 40% of women had an issue, felt that there may be some issue with it, and 90% of men found that there might be an issue with it. Or, you know, you could maybe get interesting numbers that say, you know, women feel more secure with social media in their relationship than men do, or men feel more secure. It can just kind of supplement some of your sources and say, this is what people have, this is what people have said about it, and this is how it relates to a published source or something.
Yeah, that'd be good. The challenge in that is knowing how to ask the questions properly so that you get an accurate response, you know, that it's clear and it, the question narrows down sharp enough so that the response is...
Well, it could even be multiple choice.
Sure, sure.
Just like so that way you're not expecting people to take 25 minutes to help you out or something. You could have it where you could knock out 10 questions and 8 minutes or whatever, and then you could use that information best you could.
There's a bunch of websites that are generated.
Yeah.
Survey.
Yeah.
You have to type in the question, obviously.
But it'll spit out a link for you and then give you, if you log in, you can see all the responses and everything.
Now, if you choose to do that, you will need to do that pretty quickly because the time frame to get results back, because we're looking at, after this class, we have 9 weeks until the paper's due. 9 weeks.
Okay.
I want you to start getting scared.
I am scared.
In a good way.
I was scared when you said 35 pages.
well,
I just think it's because I can go a lot. I can do a different things with it.
Right.
So I just need a fit. I guess works best.
Mm-hmm. And I would say even now, if you have in your head, you're still working on your thesis, trying to, you know, formulate it properly, but nevertheless, you have an idea where you're headed. I'd start, certainly note-taking from your resources and getting information, but you also might be thinking in terms of writing little pieces here and there, piece in your introduction, or like for you, the creative story, you might at least start outlining and getting some themes from it or something that you could create.
How, I guess my biggest question is, how am I going to put the story into the...
Yeah, I think what my guess is, you probably want to start off with doing kind of a biblical theology of marriage, its foundation. And then you turn to telling a story. And in that story, you pull in the psychology and the counseling and so forth of how could, as you tell the story, you say, how could this be remedied? You know, we find these problems in this from this fictional story, but it's a fictional story drawn from actual possible scenarios in people's lives. And then here comes counseling to try to say, from a Christian perspective, how would we deal with this and how it could be overcome? And what you could do, kind of come back in after you bring in the counseling approaches and so forth, come back into the story again at the end and say, creatively, tell how the story comes out good, perhaps. Does that make sense?
Will my story be part of the 35?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't want it to be the whole thing, but going.
Like
that's roughly 10. 10 pages there, 10 pages of the story, 10 pages of counseling and so forth. But it'd be a nice conclusion, creative conclusion, to say you move back to the story, and so in this couple, they did these things and this happened and whatever, and this came out good, or she sued him and like your teacher.
She was, I don't know, she was saying something about how she wants to see the wife go and look for, like, I guess go and look for a source on the internet, where she goes and looks for a source on the internet and finds articles of how to, I guess, repair her marriage.
Yeah.
But she's saying that how the articles online are fake, and then she goes and sues the website or something like that.
Okay.
Or sues, I don't know what she was saying. I was like, Dr. that's too much.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me turn then for just a minute to Well, just by summary, again, what you should have into me is your thesis statement and this tentative bibliography. Now, as we said last week, though, the bibliography was a little more extensive than some of you were able to come up with this at juncture. Let's see. I think we were saying...
I think it's like six per...
Yes.
I said 5 to 7.
Yeah, 5 to 7, wasn't it? Per discipline or per area of emphasis. I would say continue to shoot for that. Keep looking for your resources. Now, next week, as you can see there, this is week 5, February 12th, next Thursday. You're to create an annotated bibliography, and that would be for 3 sources per discipline. So in your case, 3 sources for psychology, 3 sources from Bible, and then, well, it's kind of, well, 3 sources from literature. Now, an annotated bibliography is, okay, here's this book or this article, and you write a nice tight paragraph describing its content. And as I was mentioning to you, Caleb, earlier, that to do that, you don't have to necessarily, if it's a massive book, you may not get all that read yet, but you can look at the table of contents and kind of do a summary of the general content of it, but also in the introduction, or and sometimes books will help you out a lot by something on the jacket or on the outside cover that, you know, so commenting on the book will kind of give you the gist of what the book is about.
I guess my disconnect was when you said it before, you said kind of and in the paragraph intend how you intend to use it.
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah, and also...
That would be kind of, because, I mean, I have this source that I know there's a wealth of information,
yeah. But
I haven't even begun to write this paper in my head
well,
yet, so I can't speculate on what I'm going to pull out of what. So is
yeah.
there a summary of what...
Well, you're doing the summary of the content of the book. You can look, as I said, look at the table of contents to help you out with that, to kind of see where the shape and content is. And maybe if it's an argument, making a case about something or the general contours of it. But also usually the first section, the introduction. The author will typically tell you, here's what I'm dealing with and here's how I go about handling it. And so that kind of help you write a summary real quick. The idea of an annotated bibliography is to say, okay, here's a resource. And you basically were doing it orally because you were kind of telling me about the nature of the
Yeah, I mean, I've already read most of them, but
yeah.
So I can tell you what they're all about,
yeah.
But I can't tell you what I'm going to use out of them.
Okay, so as you can, if you say, okay, I'm going to use this text, as this information here is what I'm going to pull out, that's fine. If you're just at the stage of, well, here's what the book's about, I'm not sure yet what I'm going to do, just you don't have to do that. And it also mentions you can look at some... you can review other annotated bibliographies. You can pull stuff up online, give you sample annotations and that kind of stuff. And then just continue, you know, adding to. But look, for next week, turn in these 3 per discipline, okay, with the annotations. So a good tight paragraph. And I would encourage you, if you feel like you've got a pretty sharply focused on what your thesis is, start writing bits and pieces of it. It's nothing you have to turn in yet, but it's always easier to get started on it when you have a paragraph here, a few lines here, because you have some bones and some meat to work with. It's really tough to look at a blank screen to start writing, you know, but if you have something, like illustration of your writing a story, you can probably kind of outline it already, you know, or maybe write a particular scene that you want to include in it. And just write that up so that you have some chunks and pieces.
Okay.
Vegetable soup with a few bits of meat. So we clear what we need to do for next week.
Yep.
Okay. And if you are still trailing behind and getting a good, succinct thesis statement, you really need to focus on that because that, you know, causes the shape of everything else that comes afterwards. Okay. So, and if you need some help with that, shoot me an email and say, here's what where I am right now. Help me with trying to formulate a thesis statement kind of thing. Okay. Now, I'm going to be out of pocket. I'm leaving town today and presenting a paper and doing a conference over the weekend. I'll still have access to email, but I'm going to be pretty seriously distracted. But I'll be back in Monday, and I was already jotted down. I'm going to send you an email, just kind of outline again what everybody needs to have into me. So I'm going to keep nudging, keep pestering, keep bothering you to move you along. It's for your good, because I don't want you 7 weeks into the semester and not have anything written down yet. See, that'll be tough on you, right? So, like I said, including today, we have about a 9-week period for the paper to be turned in. So that's going to happen faster than you think. So 9 weeks, if you were to break it up, 35-page paper roughly, that's about 4 pages a day, or a week, I should say. That sounds pretty manageable, right? But you got to start doing something now to make that manageable. All right, any questions or conundrums you're still dealing with before we leave class today?
Could I use Tony Dungy? Just thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah, like something online, interviews, or
his,
he's got a book out.
I have a bunch of his devotionals, and like Quiet Strength, he talks about, I can't believe I didn't think of that before.
Okay.
But definitely the spiritual side and kinesiology, that's where those two.
His book, The Mentor Leader, is also a really good one.
Mentor Leader?
Mm-hmm, okay. By Dungy. It's really good as well.
Okay. And then shoot me an email to remind me to send you that one text I was referring to. And if I can find I think those articles should be on the WordPress for the journal. I can point those to you as well. Okay. Any other questions? Do you know what you're going to be doing this week? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't remember what her name was that is doing the transition on the effects of social media. I know that you mentioned doing the 5 love languages, and I was going to suggest, my father is an elder over at our church, and he is in charge of teaching a class on the 5 love languages. So if you are looking for somebody to interview, him and my stepmother are probably good people to interview. That is if you are. Just a suggestion. But they deal with lots of problems. So, and I'm sure that might be one of them. So, and I didn't even think about it until just now when you mentioned that book, since they do teach a course on it. So if you do want to maybe do an interview, they would... I know that they would love to. I just know my parents, and they love to help in any way possible. So,
where is that church located?
It is in Coppell. It's a life church in Coppell.
Yeah. Well, they might have some resources they could share with her too, like that they use for the class.
Yeah, they use mostly they use that book, but they have a couple of other handouts that they have. For different situations and problems that people may be going through, or and of course different languages that people's strengths are. It's just a suggestion. If you are looking for somebody to interview, I know that they would happily do it. So
okay, thank you.
Very good. That's great. And that's the thing too. We can be helping each other out. You know, we come across things, or we know something we've read or whatever, and just share it with each other. So be mutually supportive of our research projects. So, okay, any other questions? So you're going to be doing 3 annotated bibliography entries per discipline, so it'll be a total of 9. You'll have that ready and turned in to me prior to class next Thursday, right?
Can we just email you that?
Yes, you can.
It doesn't need any special formatting in a Word document or anything?
No, the format is that you do a proper bibliographic entry, MLA style, of the text, and then just to write a grammatically correct paragraph underneath it. And yes, you can shoot me an email as an attachment for those. And I'll just do a hard copy, because I'm kind of doing a file on each of you with piece of statement and bibliography stuff. Okay.
I can get like Joanna's email, like through your email, right? Because
yes.
I think you've sent us.
Yeah, okay. It's the Joanna. Your email, DCC email, is what? Just J.
Yeah,
Mahosa?
It's Jay Hinojosa, yeah.
Okay, at dcc.dallas.com.
Okay.
Okay, very good. All right, well, be busy in a good way. Okay? All right, we'll see you guys next week then. Shoot me an email of any questions or problems you have as you go along. So,
thank you. We'll see you
all
then.
Right. Take care.